My guest at this time is Gordon Chang, a well-regarded expert on East Asian affairs, who we've called upon many times to discuss issues related to China and North Korea. He is also the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. We've asked him to offer insights after earlier this week, South Korean President Moon Jae-in says North Korea is ready to denuclearize without conditions, other than perhaps some security guarantees. And Gordon, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much, Craig.
Well, here's how Reuters put it earlier in the week. North Korea has expressed its commitment to complete denuclearization, that's in quotes, of the Korean Peninsula and is not seeking conditions. South Korean President Moon Jae-in said on Thursday as the United States vowed to maintain maximum pressure on Pyongyang. Moon said big picture agreements about denuclearization, establishing a peace regime, and normalization of relations between the two Koreas and the United States should not be difficult to reach through summits between the North and South and between the North and the United States. Quote, I don't think denuclearization has different meanings for South and North Korea. The North is expressing a will for a complete denuclearization. They have not attached any conditions that the U.S. cannot accept, such as the withdrawal of American troops from South Korea. All they are talking about is the end of hostile policies against North Korea, followed by a guarantee of security. Now, Gordon, you've explained to us before that Moon Jae-in badly wants to reunify Korea. So how do you read his comments? Is this what he thinks is possible or just what he wants to happen?
I think it's what he wants to happen, but clearly we've got to test not only Moon, but of course Kim Jong-un. This provides the opportunity for a breakthrough. You know, I'm sure Kim Jong-un doesn't want to give up his most destructive weapons and won't do it unless there is severe pressure, but President Trump is in a position to apply that pressure, so this presents an opportunity. You know, things can go badly wrong. This is, we're talking about North Korea, after all. But nonetheless, at this point, we should be cautiously optimistic that President Trump, if he wants to exert American power, can perhaps bring a very good outcome to the Korean Peninsula.
It's always tough to tell, given the close nature of North Korea, but it's obviously been months since North Korea has tested a missile or made headlines over some other major provocation. In other words, they've been on good global behavior for the last little bit here. So do you think sanctions or possible pressure from China have caused Kim to recalibrate his long-term goals here, or is he just baiting the hook?
He could always be baiting the hook, but I think there's a couple things that he wants that is really important for us to understand the motivation. You know, of course, he doesn't want the U.S. to strike his nuclear or his missile facilities. You know, you have John Bolton now as National Security Advisor, who had some very hawkish statements made when he was a Fox News contributor. I'm sure that's unnerving Kim and probably the Chinese as well. But more important, I do think that our sanctions campaign has been working. There are reports, for instance, from South Korea that North Korea could run out of foreign exchange reserves by October. That's maybe a little bit optimistic, but nonetheless, we do know they're running out of money. And we're also hearing from the Chinese that Office Number 39, which is the Kim family slush fund, is low on cash. So there's a lot of information that corroborates the view that Kim actually needs sanctions relief. Now, Kim may be exaggerating. Moon could very well be exaggerating. But nonetheless, there is this possibility for us to actually make some progress.
So what's the right approach? You said if the U.S. can kind of leverage this, they can possibly get something positive out of this. So what's the right way to move forward?
Well, first of all, we should have those talks with Kim Jong-un, President Trump sitting down with him directly. But we should, I think, increase pressure on Kim as these talks progress. We've got to remember that although China has been better at sanctions enforcement, if we look at, let's say, a couple years ago, but in the last month, Beijing has done some things which are really disturbing in violating the UN sanctions openly. So we need to put some pressure on the Chinese right now to make sure that Kim understands that President Trump is willing to go not only against him, but also against China. I think that Kim has felt in the past that China was always going to have his back. I'm sure that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, communicated that to Kim during their meeting in Beijing. So the correct approach here is talk, but also increase the sanctions.
That's an interesting approach because I think you have some people concerned or some people optimistic, depending on their perspective, about how this might be paralleling what we saw in terms of the negotiations with the Iranians over their nuclear program. On the one side, you can say, well, they're in dire straits. The sanctions are having their effect. You're in your best position to make a deal. And that would be the explanation and the analysis from the Obama side. The other side would be, okay, these people are struggling with their sanctions. We've got our boot on their throat. We could really actually squeeze it right out of them here if we keep it tough. I know we don't want to draw too many tight parallels here, but what does it look like if we toughen the sanctions while also looking for opportunities?
Well, if we do that, I think that we actually can get to a good place. You know, if you look back at the run-up to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which is the 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and the United States and other parties, the Obama administration put a lot of pressure on European banks, imposing fines of hundreds of billions of dollars, in one case billions of dollars, for those banks busting the Iran sanctions. The only thing that I think the administration then did wrong was it was too eager to get a deal. President Trump said something significant on Wednesday at his joint press conference with Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister. He said he's willing to walk away. And that's absolutely critical, because if you're willing to walk away, you can get a good deal. Now, of course, historical parallels are never perfect, but with sanctions and pressure and the willingness to not make a deal, I think is a very good combination for us.
Let's get back to President Moon for a moment. How does he help or complicate things as we move forward?
Well, he will complicate things because he wants to see South Korea shovel a lot of money into Kim's coffers. If he does that before a deal is made, that certainly undercuts our ability to put pressure on Kim. But if he does it after a deal is made in consultation with the United States and other parties, that could be very good, because one of the good outcomes would be Kim does give up his weapons and that we establish economic ties with North Korea, which would be in South Korea's interest, would be in our interest. And certainly North Korea will need aid. It would be great if other people chipped in, such as South Korea. So, you know, you can be quite optimistic about these things. Now, as I mentioned, this is North Korea, and so it's going to be really hard, really tough. But there is now a path forward where there wasn't one 6 months ago.
Do you think it's still true that North Korea's main objective when it comes to the South is to conquer it?
Yes, that has been Kim family goal since the founding of the regime in 1948. And that's at the core of their legitimacy. And I'm sure that Kim is thinking about how to achieve that goal as he talks with the United States, because he's got a willing partner in Moon Jae-in who is trying to amend the South Korean constitution to make it more compatible with North Korea. Moon has a lot of senior advisors who in their college days were openly pro-North Korean, and today they won't disavow those earlier positions. So we've got to be really concerned as much, and maybe even more. I would say more. We've got to be more concerned about Moon Jae-in than we do about Kim Jong-un. We know that Kim is an out-and-out villain. I think that we need to view Moon in very suspicious light, especially because of the things that he has done to undermine the United States, and also because of what he wants to do.
So his objective is essentially unity at any cost?
It is unity. It very well may be not at any cost, but at a great cost. So that's something that we have to be worry about. But the one thing that's good from our point of view is that many, probably most South Koreans, are not on board with their president in this regard. And so we need to play to hearts and minds in South Korea's electorate, because if we do that, we can box in Moon Jae-in. You know, President Trump has been pretty good at getting Moon to say the right things in public, although we've had some problems getting Moon to do the right things in private. So we just have to make sure that we continue to box him in and work so that he is not going to undermine what we're trying to do.
It's a fascinating time, Gordon, where there was actually a glimmer of hope with North Korea, but we're actually a little more worried about what our allies in South Korea might be up to. It never stops being complicated, but we're so glad that you're here to put it all into perspective. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Gordon Chang, a well-regarded expert on East Asian affairs. He's also the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.